Listening to the Nestorius Public Radio, you tune into the Master Blaster, the crazy shit, the earwax disaster, the shit that'll polish your ear brain hole straight from Jamaica, you know what I'm saying? Straight from Jamaica to Gobble Gobble Land, you know what I'm saying? Wake the fuck up, y'all. It's 9 p.m. or thereabouts in sunny, cold and chilly California, Southern California, Los Angeles town. We're in downtown L.A., Skid Row Studios. Call us if you want, 1-800-893-9562. We're live for all your East Coast motherfuckers from midnight to 1 a.m. We're live. Otherwise, check us out on iTunes. You know what I'm saying? The Stories Public Radio. Make it happen. You know what I mean? We got my man Simon Kaufman back in effect. Motherfucker's been on hiatus for like about 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Hey, yo, the hip, the hop. You just don't stop from the tippy top down to your toes, your nose. What's up? Go blow your nose. But I'm back in L.A. warm. I was out in New York City watching the Seattle Seahawks take the world championship, baby.
And back again for some dual infliction, some crazy ass bugger debu shit. Got my man Jack McGee.
I just can't get away from you.
Yo, you just can't get enough.
Put your hands
shit
on the radio.
Put your hands on the radio.
I have been to the mountain.
You've coming back two times.
You ain't lying, baby.
You ain't lying.
No, baby.
What's popping, man? How you doing?
Bigger, I'm good, man. If I was any better, I'd be you.
I hear that, man.
Yes.
Things are good, man. Things are good in Los Angeles, man.
Mm-hmm.
Things are doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Life is good. Well, you know, if you're at home, I just want to say this again. If you're at home and you haven't washed your socks in about 2 months, you ain't got nothing in the refrigerator, you obviously are jumping on somebody else's internet line, you know, call us, 1-800-893-9562. We're going to have a pretty interesting discussion today. I want to honor at least part of the show to the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, you know, a big rest in peace to PSH, you know what I'm saying? For those of you that don't know, we're going to, you know, school you a little bit up on that. You know, he passed on Sunday of an apparent drug overdose or something thereabouts. Not a very pretty picture. Amazing actor. Left three kids. I guess he wasn't married to...
No, he wasn't. They had been together for a while.
To Mimi. He wasn't married.
But yeah.
It was his estranged, you know... significant other. But anyway, so I wanted to talk about the entire, you know, the untimely death of it. So apparently, you know, they found a needle in his arm, which is, you know, seriously, there's no more fucked up way for somebody to have to find you, except for maybe, you know, hanging. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I know some people. Could you imagine walking into some fucking body's house, somebody that you love, somebody that you know, and they're hanging?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
So a needle in your arm, it's just, you know, I think somewhere along the lines of our paths, we've heard the phrase incomprehensible demoralization.
Right on.
You know what I mean? You ain't waking up that day thinking that that's how you're going to be found.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's kind of messed up and shit. What's popping? If you're listening to us or you're watching us live, what the fuck is up? I'm like blasting shit into your motherfucking ear holes. Mm-hmm. Holes, 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 holes. Anyway, back to Phil. yeah, so I had read an article. I just put the video camera on, you know.
Yo, you got to flip it.
Yo.
Yeah, he liked to look at himself.
Hey, yo, no, because sometimes I listen to somebody.
No, I know.
Hey, just so you know, sometimes I listen to some of these shows or watch some of these shows, because you can watch us live, by the way.
Right.
Go to SkidRowStudios.com. There's a little button up there that says watch live, and a fucking video window pops up. So during any of the shows, you can actually watch the show live. And sometimes I watch people live, and they never look at the camera. So I just wanted to say, peace!
There it is.
Anyway, back to Phil. So I was reading shortly thereafter, and, well, first of all, they had about, initially they said about 64 glassine bags.
Right.
Of dope. Filled bags of dope. And there were a couple of empty bags of dope that were found near his body. Mm. And they basically said that they found traces of this fentanyl, which is some sort of a...
It's analgesic. A narcotic, right.
It's a narcotic. It's an analgesic and anesthetic that they give to elephants right before they're going to cut their balls off.
No, they give mostly to give in dental offices. They give that to you.
Well,
to
very, your they cut like, your balls off. In very small right. portions.
I know, but when I had my balls cut off, they didn't give me nothing.
But they give you some shit like right. when you're going to go to...
They like, give you a stick to bite down
no,
on.
No, when you're going
to
go into surgery, that's part of the shit they give you. Anyway, it's 100 times more potent than morphine. Okay, so apparently there has been a trend with heroin, and for most of you guys that may not know this, but heroin, like cocaine, is cut. They cut it with something,
right,
so that it's not pure,
right,
and also so it's easily ingestible through the nostrils. You know what I'm saying?
And so they can sell more of it too.
And they can sell more of it, more profit margin.
That's what it's all about.
Right. So, but they cut it with all sorts of stuff. And, you know, when you start fucking around with shit that's like, you know, something 100 times more potent than morphine, that's a little...
Well, first of all, here's the truth about it, is that anytime anybody puts anything into their body, the chances are they have no idea what it is.
Right.
Where it came from.
Right.
Who delivered it?
Exactly.
And exactly what it's going to do to them. Right. It's just all about the hope that it's going to get them out of themselves. Right.
You can't
I'm talking mostly about addiction and stuff that's going to
No,
that's
no, no. I'm saying you can't just suit. Like, you can't just go. Well, that basically goes to the crux of what I'd like to talk about, which is, so after they found some of these traces and whatnot, all of a sudden there's a witch hunt for the dealers that sold them the heroin.
Right.
Or as my black brethren up in Harlem say, heron.
Heron.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, yo, how about a couple of bags of heron? You know what I'm saying?
And they got a cousin named Ron.
You know it.
They say, hey, Ron.
Yeah, that's actually Ron is the name of the character of in the movie that, you know, you were in. And
Silver
Skies. Which we're going to get to later
on. Yeah. We're going to talk about that now.
So, and Simon was in it. I saw pictures of you, Simon, you know, dressed up as a police officer. And
looking
shit.
Good.
Yeah. Of course, looking good. Not acting, but looking good. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Acting like I'm looking good.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
Yeah. So there's a witch hunt for dealers, you know? And so my first thing is, why don't, you know... Well, I was reading a lot of the posts, like in Yahoo News or whatever, and there was a lot of, why are we spending money on finding out who the dealers are? Why? Because he's white, or why? Because he's rich, or why? Because he's a celebrity. And, you know, Simon, you asked me earlier, do they do this normally when somebody dies, right? Whenever there's a spick that overdoses up in East Harlem, trust me, they ain't fucking calling the squads and finding out who sold them the dope.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen. Yeah. But I think in this case, it had to do with that they found traces of that fentanyl.
Well, I think in the course of any investigation, if somebody is seen walking out, they got to canvass the different witnesses, the people who live in the building, to see if they can get some idea as to exactly how this happened, if he was by himself, if it was induced by himself, or if somebody else did it to him. They'll do some preliminary stuff, but certainly not to the extent that this poor guy was still laying up in his up in the apartment 10 hours later, and there were 8 million people outside speculating as to and trying to find anybody that may have seen him for the last 3-4 days, and just to feed like parasites.
Right.
You know, and not realizing that three kids lost their dad, some guy lost a guy, somebody lost a son.
Right.
You know? Yeah, well, I mean, I would think that the police, you know, if they found somebody in their apartment overdosed, that they would, you know, what they did in this case was they looked at his cell phone and who had he been contacting with.
No. That's what they did to, you know, find out who were the last contacts that he had, blah, blah, blah.
Well, to see where he got it and this and that.
Well, they had also checked his records at the ATM. It's understandable. I think it'd be silly to think that doesn't happen. I have brothers that come from
law enforcement. No, it happens.
And it does happen. Do they go as far as they do? Do they have 8,000 people outside the apartment speculating?
Well, they found four people on Mott Street in an apartment. They arrested two guys and a couple.
A couple of Jewish guys they got.
Yeah.
It wasn't like brothers from up in Harlem. These were guys that were heavy hitters.
Yeah, an ex
They call it heroin.
Heroin.
In Harlem, they call it heroin.
They were from Tehran.
The Jews called it heroin.
Heroin, yeah.
So wait a second. But here's the thing. you always see, like, on these cop shows, which you've been on a lot of them.
Robert Weinberg is the guy who they caught.
Yeah.
Him and another guy, and a young couple.
He was a cantor.
Hold on a second, Simon. He was actually a professional saxophone player. He was a musician.
Right.
And he was in high demand at one time.
At one time, yeah.
And then anyway, he started dealing heroin, is what it said.
Well, who knows why?
What I'm saying is there are certain cases that hit the newspaper where they go in like, we need an arrest. Like, we need to cover this up. You know what I'm saying? Like, in those cases, they go after someone.
Well, this is a high-profile thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
They want to put an end to it.
When did you find out about this?
I found out about my wife called me on the morning that it happened.
Sunday.
She had heard about it. Yeah.
I read my favorite online, you know, news outlet, LAist, and they have sister outlets on New York, San Antonio, fucking Washington. So Gothamist reported it.
Right.
And basically, I was reading down, scrolling down, so it was like, okay, one, two, three stories, a third story down. I'm like, what? I mean, this was basically an hour earlier. That's how fast the fucking news traveled, okay?
Well,
an hour earlier from when I looked at my phone, that's when it happened, okay? And I was like, what the fuck? I mean, my sister belongs to the Labyrinth Theater Company. He was involved heavily in the Labyrinth Theater Company.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, Michael Jackson dies or whoever, Elvis Presley. You know these people, but I mean, I've actually had fucking dinner with this guy.
Well, this is a neighborhood guy.
You know what I'm saying?
You had dinner with Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yeah. I've had dinner with him a couple times. Yeah.
Where?
Oh, I don't remember the restaurant. I mean, it was after a show. We had chicken wings.
I had lunch with him.
But it wasn't like he and I were hanging out and talking.
Yeah, but here's the deal. That's who this particular guy was. He was deeply embedded in the neighborhood.
Yes.
He brought his kids to school all the time.
Yes.
He was good to people. He's one of those guys, one of those character guys, which is indicative of the roles that he played and the brilliance that he brought to him. Because he was like an everyman. He was just a guy very similar to one of the guys we would have grown up with.
Dude. The deal is this. So first of all, this guy dies like this, you know, and of course, it's not known if it's a drug overdose, right?
Right.
It's not 100%.
It's inconclusive, they're saying.
Right, because it could be, if they find enough traces of this fentanyl, then it may be toxic poisoning, which, by the way, an overdose of heroin is toxic poisoning.
The heart could have given out.
Right, but here's where the criminal thing goes a step further. If certain drug dealers knowingly had cut this heroin with this fentanyl, they could be prosecuted for higher criminal charges.
Exactly.
And that's where, you know, the toxicology report has not come out yet.
Right.
Even though he was just, the wake was today in New York on Thursday.
Oh, they're not releasing the toxicology report.
Not yet.
Until they grab up the guys they want to grab so everybody doesn't scatter.
Listen, my heart goes out to the family. He's got three kids, two daughters, a young boy, you know, and it's like crazy. But you know what? The guy you were talking about, the indicative of the roles he played, I wanted to play three roles. I wanted to play three clips from some of the movies that he did. The first one I'm going to play is from Boogie Nights. I'm going to set it up. If you haven't seen the movie Boogie Nights, you're a fucking loser. Okay, if you haven't seen Boogie Nights, you need to take your fucking head off of your fucking elephant's ass. Okay, brush your teeth, your underwear.
Wait,
okay,
I haven't seen Boogie Nights.
Well,
what
you
do I have
need to
do?
Get the fuck out of my room right now. Okay, leave.
You need
just
to go.
Leave.
Yeah, you need to go.
You need to go.
That's all.
You need to go right now. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, take your Seahawk ass out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, fucking homo ass.
I didn't know I was supposed to watch it three times.
Get the fuck out of here. You didn't know you were supposed to watch it? This is a culture. This is one of the most phenomenal fucking films ever. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
Better than Puss in Boots?
Dude. This is better than, I don't know about Puss in Boots.
That was a good fucking movie. Let's be honest.
It's kind of close.
You might have something there. Puss in Boots is pretty good.
Okay, so I'm going to set this up. Boogie Nights is P.T. Anderson's 1997 film about kind of like family. It's about a porn star. Mark Wahlberg plays a porn star. kind of like Long John Silver.
It's kind of a story about what used to happen in the San Fernando Valley back in the 70s when the porn industry started.
So Mark Wahlberg plays this character. His name is Dirk Diggler. The opening scene is brilliant, right? He's looking at himself in the mirror, kind of like De Niro fucking name of the fighter that boxing
Raging
movie.
Raging Bull.
The Raging Bull would look in the mirror and go, yeah, you know, like pumping himself up.
Right.
It was an ode to Jake LaMotta.
Right.
So, which if you haven't seen that, Simon, you need to get the fuck out of here. Also, straight up, I'm not even playing.
Yeah.
So basically, Mark Wahlberg is like, you know, the god at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? And what makes this particular scene very, very, well, I'm going to play it. But anyway, Philip Seymour Hoffman plays one of the groupies that's in the inner circle, and he loves Mark Wahlberg. But you don't know about this, how much he loves him. So anyway, let me play it. Hopefully we're going to be on the money.
This takes place outside of one of the parties, and Mark Wahlberg's character's leaving.
Correct.
Here. Just keep coming. All right, open them. This is it.
It's cool.
Yeah. You want to get inside?
When did you get this?
Yesterday. Well, actually, I had it painted yesterday, so it might be painting, like, still be kind of stickier.
This is great, man.
Yeah.
This is really great.
You want to go for a ride, or?
Wait. Fuck, hell, how much time is that?
I'm sorry,
sir. What the hell is the matter with you?
I'm sorry.
Why did you do that, Scotty?
You look at me sometimes.
What?
I want to know if you like me.
Well, of course. Yeah, I like you, Scotty.
Can I kiss you?
Scotty,
please, can I kiss you on the mouth?
No!
Please let me.
Scotty!
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to grab you like that or scare you or anything.
It's all right, man.
Do you want to kiss me or?
Scotty!
No?
What's the matter with you?
I forget it. I'm really drunk. Really, I am. I'm out of my head. I'm really wasted. Really, Dirk, I'm really just wasted.
That.
I'm crazy right now. I'm really crazy.
Do you want to go back inside?
Do you like my car, Dirk?
What?
I mean...
Yeah.
Because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to make sure you thought it was cool or else I was going to take it back.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's great, Scotty.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Scotty.
I love you. I really love you.
I love you too, Scotty.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go back inside, okay?
All right. All right. Idiot. I'm a fucking idiot.
Very difficult to maybe grasp that scene if you haven't watched the movie. Basically, he has a new car. He wants to impress Dirk Diggler, and he goes up to him and kind of wants to make out with him. And that's when Mark Wahlberg pushes him aside and says, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yeah, and he idolized him.
He idolized him, but
he was searching for himself.
He had this romantic. I mean, at this point, you don't even know if this guy's gay or not. The character that Philip Seymour Hoffman, but he wants to make out with him.
Probably, yeah.
He wants to be.
It's an ambiguous thing, man. Yeah. But what brings that, he goes in the car, he goes, I'm drunk, I don't even what the fuck I'm doing, you know, and then eventually he goes in the car and he says, I'm a fucking idiot, I'm a piece of shit, you know. It's a self-deprecating moment, and you know, you're talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman's choices in acting, and they fucking range, this guy's amazing. You gotta remember, this guy was nominated for a couple of Academy Awards, and he won for Capote.
Right.
I'm not even going to play the clip of Capote because you really have to watch that clip.
Right.
But I'm going to play another clip, which was fucking brilliant. Almost Famous.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't seen Almost Famous, it's Cameron Crowe's 2000, the year 2000 Wait, came out.
Before you play that, can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to kiss me?
Yeah, I'm going to kiss you in your fucking ass after I put my foot in it, because you haven't watched any of the movies that you haven't seen.
So you, anyway, you will kiss my ass?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
So anyway, he plays... I'm a fucking idiot! All right. So he plays Lester Bangs, who happens to be a famous rock journalist back in the 70s. And again, Almost Famous is about an up-and-coming journalist. And it's loosely based on Jim Morrison and The Doors.
Right.
So, and I think Val Kilmer plays Jim Morrison in this movie, right?
No, Val Kilmer played Jim Morrison in The Doors.
In The Doors, okay. Yeah. So, well, somebody else played...
That was, Yeah.
Mm. It wasn't really about The Doors. It was right. about this young character right. who was up-and-coming journalist. And right now... Philip Hoffman is this famous rock journalist, Lester Bangs, and he's going to give some advice to this cat.
But you cannot make friends with the rock stars.
Okay,
if you're going to be a true journalist, no, a rock journalist, first you never get paid much, but you will get free records from the record company. Fucking nothing about you that is controversial, man. God, it's gonna get ugly, man. They're gonna buy you drinks. You're gonna meet girls. They're gonna try to fly you places for free, offer you drugs. And I know it sounds great, but these people are not your friends. You know, these are people who want you to write sanctimonious stories about the genius of rock stars, and they will ruin rock and roll and strangle everything we love about it. You know, because they're trying to buy respectability for a form that is gloriously and righteously dumb. You know, and you're smart enough to know that. And the day it ceases to be dumb is the day it ceases to be real. Right? And then it just becomes an industry of cool. I mean, I'm telling you, you're coming along at a very dangerous time for rock and roll. I mean, the war is over. They won. 99% of what passes for rock and roll these days, silence is more compelling. And that's why I think you should just turn around, go back, you know, and be a lawyer or something. Well, I can tell from your face that you won't. I can give you $35. Give me 1,000 words on Black Sabbath.
An assignment?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to make your reputation on being honest and you know, unmerciful.
Honest, unmerciful.
Yeah, if you get into a jam, you can call me. I stay up late.
Anyway, so. You know, you can see the comparison to the first character, a little self-deprecating. In this character, he's a little cool. You see you can hear the similarity in his voice. I mean, I'm just trying to illustrate the range. A great movie, Almost
great
Famous.
Film. Great film.
Fucking great film.
A lot of breakouts.
And fucking Boogie Nights. Again, I'm just going to tell you something, you cocksuckers out there. If you haven't watched Boogie Nights, do yourself a favor. Save your fucking money on your whatever the fuck you're smoking and whatever video games you're playing. Go to Netflix, rent that fucking movie, educate yourself, enlighten yourself. Put your motherfucking soul to a higher state of being, okay?
Watch the porno movie.
Get with the fucking program. You know what I'm saying? You gotta watch Boogie Nights. That's the beginning. The beginning. The motherfucking beginning of all type of shit that be coming through your ear. Pick the fuck up, you bomba clod. Oh shit! That was that was the end of another of that first clip that we just watched. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show live here on SkidRowStudios.com, the home of real motherfucking radio on the internet. You know what I mean? If you got a cell phone account, if you're on your mother's fucking unlimited cell phone plan, call 1-800-893-9562. You know, join us in the, you know, articulate, intelligible motherfucking chat. You know what I'm saying?
Intelligible.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Intelligible.
That's like mom's maiden name.
Intelligible, you fucking bomba clod. Intelligible. So, you know, I just got caught up on one of the vowels.
No,
but, you know,
I got you, baby.
But it came out.
Yeah.
So Jack, tell us about the time you worked with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I worked with him on a movie called Moneyball.
He played a
coach, and I ran into him a couple of times on set and just had lunch, sat across from the lunch
table. Good guy.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy.
But more important of his character, forget it. I mean, you know, this is why. I'm just saying, this is, I'm just showing you three different characters. I'm going to play one more, and I'm not going to play the whole one because it's a little long. But three different characters that you can see a fucking range. Let me tell you something. You're an actor.
Right.
You know, I've acted. That's almost impossible. And I shouldn't say impossible. You're a character type.
Mm-hmm.
To play a full fucking range of these calibers and to get as deep and down into the souls of some of these characters,
right.
which he basically got into. That's what made him shine.
Well, the goal, I think, for every character actor is to get that opportunity.
Right.
But between what he did and what you're going to bring up with Charlie Wilson's War, and then certainly with Capote, I mean, I love a challenge.
Capote, forget
I don't think I could ever, in good conscience, say to them, I could do that.
Here, I'm going to just play just a snippet of Capote, just so you can hear his fucking voice and his inflection.
Right.
You still hear Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right. You do.
I'm going to fast forward it because he's talking.
I need you to talk to me.
We got all the time in the world to talk. I've been thinking about Ricardo. You really need to stop.
I'm going to fast forward because this motherfucker's going to be talking some shit.
Yeah. So you send him on me. They only exacerbate the problem. We can start our program.
I know what exacerbate means.
Okay, well, just thinking.
There's not a word or a sentence or a concept that you can illuminate for me. There is one singular reason I keep coming here.
Truman.
November 14th, 1959.
Anyway. So I just wanted to, that's not what I wanted to play, but you mentioned Capote. You got to watch Capote, man.
Right.
If you don't know who Truman Capote is, Google him. Don't spend a lot of time if you don't care, but watch the fucking movie. The movies are outrageous. Anyway, Charlie Wilson's War is another movie that he did. He plays this Greek CIA operative, August Avrakotos. And he's going into some dude's office, his superior. He was just passed over for a position somewhere, you know, in Europe.
A promotion. Yeah,
a promotion or some shit. And he broke the dude's window last time.
I know it was difficult for you to come in here hat in hand. That's not the kind of upbringing, I guess is the word I'm looking for. It's not the kind of man you are. I understand that. I'm not looking to humiliate you or exact a price in any way. So why don't you just apologize? We'll call it water under the dam, and we'll go about our business.
Excuse me, what the fuck?
What?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Claire George said you were coming in here to apologize.
No, I'm supposed to come in here so you could apologize to me.
According to whom?
Claire George.
You told me to go fuck myself. I'm supposed to apologize to you?
Also, water goes over a dam and under a bridge, you poncy schoolboy.
Clearly, there's been a miscommunication between Claire George and somebody.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Does this look all right?
It's fine. Thank you.
I can sand it down a little.
I don't know. No fucking idea who this guy is.
He is here to fix the glass that you broke the last time you were here. Could you just excuse us for a second?
Yes. There.
Tell me to go fuck myself and I'm supposed to apologize. Yeah. You break my window. I'm supposed
to
apologize.
The Helsinki job was mine.
The Helsinki job was not yours. If it was yours, you'd be in Helsinki.
Alan Wolf stood in the
office.
Alan Wolf is
no longer the director of European operations. He does not make those appointments I do.
Promises were made.
Not by me.
I've been with the company for 24 years. I was posted in Greece for 15. Papandreou wins that election if I don't help the junta take him prisoner. I've advised and armed the Hellenic army. I've neutralized champions of communism. I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish, which should come in handy here in Virginia, and I'm never ever sick at sea. So I want to know why I'm not going to be your Helsinki station chief.
Your course.
Excuse me.
For Helsinki, I need someone with diplomatic skills. You don't have them.
Is that right?
That is right. And I don't know why the hell I didn't fire you when you broke my fucking window.
Oh, yes, sure you do, Cravely.
Look, Gus.
Yeah, you're fucking Roger's fiance, and you know I know.
Yeah, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Yeah, you're dignifying her in the ass at the Jefferson Hotel, room 1210. But let me ask you, the 3,000 agents Turner fired, was that because they lacked diplomatic skills as well?
You're referring to Admiral Stansfield Turner?
Yeah, the 3,000 agents, each and every goddamn one of them, first or second generation Americans. Was that because they lacked the proper diplomatic skills? Or did Turner not think it was a good idea to have spies who could speak the same language as the people they're fucking spying on?
Well, I'm sorry, but you can hardly blame the director for questioning the loyalty to America of people that are just barely Americans in the first place.
Yeah, well, I'd like to take a moment to review the several ways in which you're a douchebag.
Get the fuck out of my office.
Yes, sir.
Before I end your career, asshole.
Yes, sir. Yeah, my friend, I'm gonna need you for a second. My loyalty? For 24 years, people have been trying to kill me. People know how. Now, do you think that's because my dad was a Greek soda pop maker? Or do you think that's because I'm an American spy? Go fuck yourself, you fucking child.
All right. Anyway, that's a lengthy scene, but actually that scene is pretty fucking... Mm-hmm. That scene is pretty dope. It's pretty dope. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful scene. But, you know, I mean, look at the range. You know right. what I mean? And those right. are just three films. I mean, God, I didn't even look at his IMDb page. That fucking guy. Right. He was in Scent of a Woman. Right. I mean, like, way the fuck back when. He's one of these guys. If
I've seen that.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, he's one of these actors that you saw him in little things here and there. And it wasn't until probably Boogie Nights or maybe even Magnolias, P.T. Right. Anderson's other film, right. that you saw him and you were like, oh, shit, that's that guy, man, right. who plays, right. you know, the sad sack of shit pretty good. Right. You know what I mean? Right. And then you fast forward and you see him fucking the master.
Right.
Wow. I don't know. A lot of people didn't like that movie or, you know, I fucking love the movie, man.
Right.
I you know, Joaquin Phoenix and him, right. I still can't figure out what their characters, what their relationships were. Of course, it's father and son, mm-hmm. but maybe it was the opposite sides of the same coin. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Joaquin Phoenix's character is an alcoholic
right.
and a fucking
right.
demented one. And, you know, the character that Philip Seymour Hoffman was playing is the master, who's loosely based on L. Ron Hubbard.
Right.
You know, and apparently he knows him and he identifies with him, but he's moved on.
Mm.
He's moved to the other side. It's a very interesting movie. I have to watch that movie again. Have you watched that movie?
No, I really want to see that.
You're a fucking loser. Get the fuck out of my office before I reenact.
Why is he still here?
Before I reenact that fucking Uncle Charlie's War, okay, on your motherfucking head.
Yeah, but Nestor, you drove, so yeah. I need you to take me
got
home.
Got it, okay. All right. Well, anyway, you know what? I just want to say, you know, man, rest in peace, man. Big up, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Big up. Rest in peace. Love you. Sorry you left so early, man. It's bullshit. Anyway, back to the second. You're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show here live on SkidRowStudios.com.
You're on fire now.
You know what I mean? So,
dude, you're doing it.
If you just tuned in, we were just talking about the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. We played a couple of scenes from some you know notable roles that he played in some of his movies, and we just big upped him and. And we just sent him off a little bit there on NPR. But we got Jack McGee.
Hey.
For like the third time on NPR, Nestorius. On Nestor Rodriguez, Nestorius Public Radio Show.
Support for NPR comes from the Grant Foundation, offering assistance to those in need.
That's what I'm talking about. Offer assistance to those dumb fucks that haven't watched any films.
They need it.
And need help.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jack McGee is back. What have you been up to, Jack? You just shot a pilot.
I did a movie in the fall called Silver Skies.
Ah.
I did a small film with my favorite director of all time, Rosemary Rodriguez, and the two gentlemen that are here in the studio They were also a part of that production, George Hamilton, and we had a bunch of people, Alex Rocco.
Valerie Perrine.
Barbara Bain. A lot of... George Hamilton.
Marriott Hartley,
George Hamilton. It was incredible. And it was written by Rosemary.
Rosemary. In fact, if you go to SkidRowStudios.com and you go to episode, I think it was 4 or 5 or 6, one of those, there's a picture of Jack McGee, myself, and Simon, and you're holding the script, Silver Skies, because I had just given it to you. And this is somewhere back in April.
Right,
so
exactly.
We talked about it. And
it got pushed a little bit when we did it in the fall.
We happened in September, yeah.
Now, when's this going to be out? Do we know?
Well, right now it's currently in post-production, which means there's one pass at an editing, so there's a rough cut. There's a finer rough cut that I just got, and then the editor's coming next week.
There's an unbelievable amount of work that has to get done once you get finished with principal of
photography. People don't know.
There's so much work, and you would know more, Nestor, too, because you were one of the producers on it. You were the guy that pretty much ran the production office and were there, and you were Rosemary's right-hand man and did so much work on this. There were so many people. You know, you hear about this all the time in Hollywood, about somebody doing something for a labor of love. There were a lot of people there that didn't get any pay, no compensation, but everybody came out of the walls because of Rosemary and Nestor and knew how close this project was to them. And hopefully, you know, after you get finished with the next cut, then there's sound, there's music,
Color correction, it's timing,
CGI, explosions.
No, you got to that's done in post production.
I'm just joking.
Well, that's part of it, but you know, since you haven't watched any real movies, you have no right to be contributing to any kind of post production.
I bet she's watching Frozen 5 times.
Yeah, yeah. Fritz the
naked.
Cat.
Yeah, Fritz the Cat, naked, watching Frozen with his hand in his shorts.
Yeah, yeah. Get your hands out your pocket, boy.
Big up.
Get your hands out your pocket, boy.
It's chilly, Frozen.
Yeah. So, but tell us about this pilot that you did.
I did a pilot last spring for CBS called The McCarthys, about an Irish Catholic family deeply embedded in a high school basketball program.
Right.
And they liked it, but they didn't pick it up for the fall. However, they retooled it and they rehired me. They kept me on with the... Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block is in it.
Right.
And they went out and they recast and they have Laurie Metcalf playing my wife. They have Jimmy Dunn, who, by the way, tonight is just doing his first appearance on the David Letterman show.
Jimmy Dunn, and the Irish comedian, bomba clad motherfucker.
And then they tapped into the Ritter gene pool, and they hired Tyler Ritter, John Ritter's youngest son, to play one of my sons in it, and we shot it last Wednesday night.
You shot the pilot in one night?
We shot it in front of a live audience. They changed the format. Rather than going single camera, they made it multi-camera in front of a live audience.
So it's a sitcom.
Well, you rehearse it for two weeks, and they bring in the live audience.
Wow.
And you know, it's a long night because they'll go back and reshoot what they don't get.
Right.
But they do it in front of a live audience, and it took on a whole different light.
Right.
And they seem to be pretty happy about it. But, you know, this business, you don't know. You just go and you wait and see if something pops.
Right.
But,
you're talking about post-production. Where is the film now? Right. My man... But you know what? That's very interesting.
Hmm.
There's only a few shows on TV right now that do that.
Well, the same thing happened with the Big Bang Theory.
Right. Big Bang Theory is one of them.
A single camera, and they didn't pick it up.
Right.
And the same group of producers, a guy named Will Gluck and Richie Schwartz and Brian Gallagher, they have put this back together again. So they did it with Big Bang Theory, and Big Bang Theory took off because they changed the format and made it in front of a live audience.
Right.
They're hoping the same thing happens with this. They've invested a lot of money in it, and just the fact that they're coming back and doing it again, I think we've got a pretty good shot at this thing going.
Yeah.
And you said John Ritter's son?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jason Ritter is another son, but John Ritter's son looks so much like him, but is also a brilliant, brilliant comedic actor.
Fucking talk about somebody, a brilliant actor that passed too young.
Right.
You know.
And one day, gone.
John Ritter, man. I mean, that dude was fucking something, boy. You know what's interesting about these guys? You know, you'll see a guy like John Ritter, for instance, that... He was in a sitcom, right? Three Is Company for so many fucking years. Right. I mean, most of us, except for you, because you were a lint ball.
I've seen that.
Yeah, you were a lint ball on your father's unwashed fucking Calvin Klein fucking underwear. But for the rest of us that were fucking, you know,
That show when it was out.
Yeah, right. You used to wash your balls with fucking
mouthwash.
Dude,
ask me anything about the show. Ask me anything.
Okay, so, all right. So, Suzanne Summers, what character did she play?
Chrissy.
Okay, you pass.
What was the actress that played the dark-haired brunette girl who was her roommate?
That's a good question.
What was the actress's name?
Yeah, the actress's name.
I don't know any actress's name.
Joyce DeWitt.
She was the hotter one.
Big up!
She was the hotter one.
Yeah.
So you can just suck my cock. She was the hotter one.
Yeah.
What's the
Everyone goes for the blonde.
What was the name of the neighbor?
The
other neighbor.
What
was friends
neighbor?
With Jack.
Oh, Don Knotts? Oh,
that was the manager.
That was the super. You're talking about the manager.
What was the name of the neighbor?
I don't remember the neighbor. Was he Jewish?
No.
Well, I'm thinking that's the only reason you know it.
Yeah.
His name was Dallas.
Dallas. Was he gay?
That was his name on the show, Dallas.
Well, was he a gay dude?
I don't know. Why don't you try to make out with him?
I'm saying the character. Well, the character.
No, he wasn't gay.
Okay, all right.
He was their neighbor that was a real womanizer.
Okay, no.
What's the name of the bar they went to?
I don't remember that.
Wow, there you go, man. He's starting to
What's
pull it
out. What's the name of the bar they went
to? Okay, we're going to move on right now.
We're going to...
They went to the Regal Beagle.
We're moving on. Homeboy just fucking...
Three's Company trivia for 800.
Knock on my door.
Come and knock on my door. I've been waiting for you.
Three's Company too.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, John Ritter, man. He was a good actor.
What town did it take...
What happened?
What town did it take place in?
Who the fuck knows?
Santa Monica?
At this point, don't try to make up for all the films that you didn't watch by fucking answering retarded fucking unnecessary nobody knows questions about fucking Three's Company.
Those were good.
I mean, the main question that was...
Dallas was the neighbor.
Who was her...
Janet.
No, but you didn't know the actress's name.
Come on, he got Janet. That's a good one, too.
That's a good one. Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on. So where were we? The McCarthys.
Yeah, McCarthys.
McCarthys.
For CBS.
So that's brilliant. That's brilliant that they're going to do it live, in front of a studio.
We shot it already.
I'm saying that's the pilot. Yeah. When does it air?
If they pick it up, we'll probably go to work in August, and it'll come out in September. But it's about a high school basketball program.
So how are you going to play basketball, live studio audience?
Well, it's not.
He doesn't play basketball.
Not in the pilot. I'm the coach. All of my kids are my assistant coaches, and we do have this round robin, just a pickup thing in the backyard. But that's the basis for the pilot is just the catalyst because my assistant coach of 25 years he dropped dead and he's in a basket. He's in a casket. With a basketball in his hand.
Oh wow!
And I have to figure out who's going to be my next assistant.
Assistant. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's this.
I'm looking
funny
forward
stuff.
To. I'm looking forward to. I want to see it, and I'm definitely hoping that
I hope they pick it up.
Hell fucking yeah! Because
yeah,
so
it's like high stakes high school basketball, like Friday Night Lights, where it's like.
Yeah, but
you're really successful.
It's mostly about the family. I have a gay son who wants nothing to do with the family. He wants to get away from all these jocks. And as it turns out, there's only one shot I got at the state championship. There's a kid that's been out there that I'm told is coming to either my school or the arch rival school.
I wanted to play your gay son.
And his mother's a lesbian. She asked me, she wants her son to go to a school that's tolerant and gay friendly. And I tell her, it just so happens that my gay son is my new assistant, and that's the last fucking thing in the world he wants. He wants away from these assholes that he's living with, these Irish Catholic assholes.
Right, sure.
So
sure.
That's the catalyst for
it.
Hey,
it sounds interesting, man. It sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So, it's fucking sound. I was just laughing. I was just giggling because as you were talking, because you guys are sitting opposite me in the table of the knights right here.
Right.
And what you don't know is this whole past first week, Ginger Lynn, the classic porn star, started her show here on SkidRowStudios.com live.
Yeah, I'm a little itchy.
Yeah, live. Live from 4 to 6, so you can watch this shit live. She's spanking ass, licking nipples, all sorts of crazy shit
It was just in here? That wasn't it.
That was Dark Mark. Mark's my man.
Dark Mark, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Josie?
Yeah.
His assistant?
Yeah.
His co-star?
Who's that?
That's Josie.
That's Josie. Okay, I don't
know. What is she? She's like a goth model. She does modeling. Real cool chick. Love Mark and love Josie Cat. They're fucking, you know.
Are we the only show on Skid Row?
Big the fuck up! We're the only show on Skid Row that doesn't wear makeup. Yes.
No nipple licking.
No, can I just tell you something? Yo, seriously, Jack? Seriously? Monday or tomorrow, Friday?
You're going to lick nipples.
No, from 4 to 6.
I'm a lip knicker.
No, go to SkidRowStudios.com.
Right, I'm going
to
do that.
I swear to God, from 4 to 6 and go, what the fuck is going on?
I will do that.
So I was cracking up when you were talking because of that. It's just crazy shit. Ginger Lynn, Mark's going to have her on her show next week. Hopefully she'll be on my show one week. If you don't know who Ginger Lynn is, You have to go way back to the 70s when Ron Jeremy was was doing a porno, Long John Silver, before after he passed. But, you know, this is like the mid-80s to early 90s. She was like fucking 21. She turned 21 on her first fucking porno shoot.
Wow.
Turned 21. And by the time she was 23, she was clocking $100,000+ a year. This is an 80-something.
That's a lot of dough.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of cock.
A lot of cock dough.
That's a lot of clock cocking.
A lot of cock
clocking.
That's a lot of fucking.
That's a cock-a-doodle-doo.
That's right. Anyway, so let's go back to Silver Skies. So when we shot the film, I had the fucking honor. You know, when I first saw you on Rescue Me, here's the thing, going back to Philip Seymour Hoffman and actors and acting, especially new actors that have never been on a set or who have never acted outside of an acting class.
Right.
One thing you have to understand, when you're acting opposite a really good actor, right? The really good actor, if you just really listen and really respond, after knowing your lines, of course, you just go with it. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be enough meat for you to bite on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's what we talked about that day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you know, I'm not just saying this just because I'm crazy about you. You did a remarkably good job, because you have to get jitters, because I get jitters even when I go in working with anybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you get jitters when you go in and work. Did Moneyball, did all this stuff, these different characters you play. You always say, oh, man.
My jitters, believe it or not, most of them, they'll come from fucking up my line. That's where my jitters would come from, because I trust you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I mean, if I didn't know you, maybe, but I trust you. See, that's the thing. You got to trust the actor you're working with. That's it.
Right.
And you go with the fucking
and
flow.
You did very well, because you just listened.
Yeah, I went with the flow. Right. I mean, I'm with the flow.
And I'm anxious to see. You see the
What I have is an audio clip. I'm just playing the audio, because you're not going to see it anyway. But I'm going to set up the scene. I'm going to set up the scene. It just so happened that with Phillip's clips, I had the videos already. But I'm going to set up the scene. So Jack plays Nick. Who works at the racetrack.
Selling programs at the racetrack, too, and doing a lot of bunch of stuff at the racetrack.
Right, this guy works hard, man. His roommate, Phil, who's played by George Hamilton, has Alzheimer's. You've known Phil for God knows how long.
50 years.
Fucking 50 years.
Right, taking care of him.
You're taking care of him.
Right.
You don't make that much money at the racetrack.
No.
You know, Phil doesn't work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Can't work.
You know what I mean? You take care of him. You fucking work at a racetrack. If any of y'all never been to a racetrack, it's a bunch of fucking desperado, low-life fucking...
Right.
Never... Listen, the next stop after Nestorius Public Radio, when this shit doesn't work for you, is the racetrack for you, okay? That's pretty much where it's gonna go.
Yeah, that's right.
All right? So he gets his balls busted, and I play this fucking asshole, and I wind up playing a lot of assholes, believe it or not. Look at...
I wonder where they cast you. Why they cast you like that?
So I wound up playing this fucking douchebag.
Right.
But of course, you know, here's the other thing. I don't consider the character a douchebag, right? He's just a manager.
Just a guy.
And you're a fucking old fuck.
Right.
And you got to get your shit together. Otherwise, you got to go.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And maybe your backstory is that you put up with him doing this stuff before. And maybe there's somebody, a buddy of yours, that really needs a job. And you're just looking for an excuse to get rid of him.
Yep. Exactly. My backstory was that I don't think you fucking older... You know, you guys got to go.
Right.
That was my backstory.
Right.
The racetrack should be young and fresh.
You were riding the ship.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly. So basically, you're in the bathroom. And again, this is true to life, because my father-in-law worked in a racetrack. You're not supposed to leave your post to go to the bathroom unless somebody relieves you. You're fucking selling programs to degenerates.
Right.
You're not even getting fucking minimum wage.
Right.
You're barely making $3 an hour. You're making your money on tips.
Right.
If they fucking give you a quarter or a dollar or 10 cents.
Right.
You're there because you can bet on a race here and there and maybe make some money.
Right.
That's why you would be there in the first place.
Right.
Anyway, so I walk into the bathroom and this is the scene.
You shouldn't be in here, buddy. People are out there waiting for their programs.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
And you came up short on your receipts, too.
Had a stressful day.
I'm docking the difference out of your paycheck.
Come on, that's horseshit.
Those are the rules, okay? You can't just come in here to go to the bathroom whenever you feel like it.
Next time I'll just piss in my pants.
And you've been covering for the other guys too. Don't think I don't know about it.
We're seniors. It comes with the territory.
Yeah, well, this is the last time, buddy.
Well, why don't you just get me a catheter then, or get off of my ass?
Fucking prick. This is the way you wanted it? You got it.
Are you shitting me? You're actually gonna have me physically removed because I come up short on a receipt?
Yeah, one too many times, buddy.
Oh, you never made a mistake? You never miscounted? Huh? Never?
Listen, my friend.
Don't call me your friend. First of all, I'm not your fucking friend. And secondly, let me tell you what you are. I describe you as a piece of shit. You don't respect anybody. You never respected your elders. You just want to put us out to pasture. Well, it ain't gonna happen. I got my rights.
You're done, okay? And let me tell you something about the rules. There's no ex-employees back on the premises for 1 year.
Son of a bitch, you!
You're not a tough guy anymore. Get him out of here.
I want my money. You give me my goddamn money back. You understand that, you son?
Take it easy, old man, before you get a heart attack.
So, there it is.
Yeah. So the thing is that I confront you, you get into it, I walk out and I come in with a security guard
right.
to escort you out, further humiliating right. the fucking guy.
Right.
So, you know, I say this because when I finished that day, you know, I had to make sure everything was wrapped up and all that stuff. And I went right. to go get some chicken.
You were wearing a bunch of hats that
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like always. And I remember I sat down after that and I fucking felt so remorseful. Believe it or not, you take that shit. It's in you. You know what I mean? You're thinking about the arc of that character and that you just fucking fired, not just fired, but had him physically removed. Anyway, so you have to stay tuned. Silver Skies is the name of the movie. I believe the website is silverskiespictures.com.
Right.
And if not, go to Roar Productions, Inc., or NestorRodriguez.com or RosemaryRodriguez.com. There'll be a loop in there. Or go to the Facebook page.
There
Facebook
it is.
Page, Silver Skies, the
dot
movie.
Com.
Facebook.com, Silver Skies, the movie.
So you felt bad because you internalized the character and then you felt bad as if you had done it?
It wasn't like I internalized the character. It's that I'm now everything's gone. We're done. We wrapped for the day. I'm sitting in the restaurant and I'm just now, I'm feeling, you know, I was thinking about the character. I'm thinking about Nick, and I'm thinking about Ron, and I'm thinking about how I was just thinking about fucking, you know, Nick taking care of Phil. He's at Alzheimer's, and I'm like, what fucking degenerate? What fucking degenerate?
But why did you feel bad? Didn't you know it was just you separate?
Because I separated myself from that. Now right. I'm looking at the big picture,
right.
and I'm
you're all so close to it because your wife wrote it.
Right,
she lived it. It was about her dad.
Right, but now I'm thinking. I am stepped back from it, and I'm able to judge him.
So you saying that's maybe what played into Philip Seymour Hoffman because he plays all these weird dark characters. Do you think he?
Well, I think with Philip Seymour Hoffman, that's a great question. I think that those characters were a part of him, especially those, you know, right. really sad, you know, self-deprecating type of characters. I think, you know, if I was to, that's a very good question. If my opinion of the whole thing is that a lot of people think that addiction is, you know, people are fucked up and then they die or whatever. But one of the most powerful stages of addiction and people lose it. And you can go back and you know, ask yourself about these people and that, and you know, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, on and on and on and on and on, Elvis Presley. These motherfuckers, you get so fucking rich, you become so successful
right.
that your outsides don't really match the insides. See,
right.
your insides at that point
right.
are still filled with low self-esteem, lack of self-worth.
Right.
When you have lack of self-worth, and that goes with your question, Simon, because in a sense, you have to be in touch with that low self-worth to play those types of characters, right?
Right.
So, you know, and then you're a fucking celebrity, you know what I mean? You're an Academy Award winner. My man just had a series on Showtime.
Right.
He was a regular, a reoccurring on The Hunger Games. This fucking guy had...
And yet on the other end of it, he died alone.
Man... Man,
you know,
man.
He died. And
what a fucking needle.
I don't think he wanted to leave those three kids.
I don't think he wanted to do that.
But that's the nature of the beast.
No. He didn't wake up that day.
Right.
You know, people say, oh, what was he doing with 60, 70 fucking glassines of dope? Trust me, he wasn't buying 60, 70 glassines so he can fucking off himself that day. It wasn't part of the plan. Trust me. It was not. Right. And sometimes at the end of the day, you know, you have to really, you know, we did an episode, Search Within, you know, to fill that hole. It comes down to that always. Mm-hmm. You know, we as a society Nothing on the outside can fill it. But we as a society, especially in America, and everybody else follows suit, think that, you know, we can just buy shit, you know, live in nice places, and that's going to make us okay. Right. At the end of the day, you know, each of us has the responsibility to, you know, work out our own, you know, deficiencies, you know, to grow spiritually. That's what you. I mean,
the outside stuff doesn't mean a thing.
No. Mm-hmm. Not if you're empty inside, no. And right. For sure it ain't worth nothing if you fucking, you know, if you die alone.
Right.
I mean, we're all gonna die alone, but alone like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, we're wrapping up the show. Let me give another big up for Phil, man. Anyway, so make sure you tell your friends about Nestorius Public Radio. We're here live every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Skid Row Studios has a fucking outrageous amount of new shows on the air. I think we have like 25 shows. Go to skidrowstudios.com. Bring down that drop-down menu that says shows. There's categories from comedy to sports to self-help to sex. I mean, there's some crazy shit going on here. We're blowing up here. This is real motherfucking radio on the internet. I'm Nestor Rodriguez. My man. Oh, we have a caller? Real quick. Hey, who's the caller?
Hi. I just wanted to call and say thanks for doing a show about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Hey, Roro.
Hey, thank you so much. We're going to have to go because the time's up. We got another show coming up. All right?
All right, cool. I hope you continue the conversation about addiction and great actors.
Yes. I love you, man. You know, thanks for calling in. Last week you came in as a producer, you know, Cecil Bill Demento. You switch your hats every time you call, you know what I mean? Anyway, let me just wrap this shit up. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the shows. I'm Nestor Rodriguez. That's my man Simon Kaufman.
Live and direct.
Wrecked. And that's my man right there, Jack McGee.
Big up, Roro.
And yo, and we out.
It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit.